This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Churches across Canada are being asked by an advocacy group to tell the federal Conservative government that they don't want to pay for its prison-based justice agenda. The Church Council on Justice and Corrections is a national faith-based coalition involved in education, advocacy, and community development initiatives that foster healthier communities and crime prevention through social responsibility. The organization recently sent a letter to Prime Minister Stephen Harper observing that his government is applying a costly prison response to people involved in the courts who are nonviolent offenders or repeat offenders who are mentally ill and or addicted, the majority of whom are not classified as high risk.
We're joined on the phone by Lorraine Berzins, the Community Chair of Justice for the Church Council on Justice and Corrections. Welcome to People First Radio, Lorraine.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Now, Lorraine, why has the coalition written this letter to the Prime Minister?
Well, we've become very concerned as we have seen the criminal justice system go in the direction that it's being taken right now with legislative proposals that are really counting on trying to deter crime or prevent crime, as they say, and make communities safer by putting more people in prison for longer periods of time. And we know from 39 years of working in this field and being in close contact with many people who work in this field that that is simply going against all the evidence that we have about what is really going to keep communities safer. And we felt it was really important that we declare ourselves on this and really express to the Prime Minister and to the opposition parties that at a time when money is, tight and needed for many other things, to put the kind of money that they are planning to put into building more prison cells is not only counterproductive, it's harmful. It's really going to, from our experience and knowledge and all the evidence we have, it's going to really harm many, many people and affect many lives. And we're trying to get people, our political leaders, to rethink this and change direction while there is still time.
Now, the letter was written on December the 17th, 2010. What kind of response, if any, have you received from the Prime Minister or from the government?
We haven't received any yet. We're still waiting for that. On the other hand, we have received a lot of response from members of churches and the general public as the news has gotten out about this. We've really tried to inform the people in our churches and encourage them to inform themselves. And we think that a lot of people simply don't realize what impact this is going to have and how very futile it is. And so we've been getting a much bigger response than we've ever had before. We've been doing this work for 39 years, and what we're saying is the same thing we've said before. One of the differences is that there's a lot more evidence accumulated now to indicate how much damage it can do, and we have a much more of a track record with options that would be cheaper and would work better. I think that the response that we're getting that is stronger than before is because this is resonating with a lot of people. It's resonating with people in our churches who have begun to write letters of their own. And it's resonating with Canadians generally because we've heard from a lot of people who are not active members of churches but who are very concerned about this. One of the really telling things, and we're finding out more and more about this right now, is what's been happening in the States. And it just seems really flabbergasting, if you'll pardon my expression, to consider that our government is about to do what the States are discovering was a huge mistake. About 40 years ago, they began a policy exactly like this, using mandatory minimum sentences and putting more people in prison for longer periods of time. Now they are realizing that it has not made their communities safer, it has not reduced the crime rate, and it is costing them an unaffordable amount of money at the expense of many other things. And recently we've been hearing that people, conservative Republican leaders like Newt Gingrich are taking the leadership role in saying we need a seismic shift in how we decide to respond to crime. It is, I'm quoting him, he says the system is broken. Responding with prison sentences doesn't work and costs too much money, and so it is really worth rethinking this and doing a major shift. It is the Republicans who are coming out in some leadership position on this, and they're calling together bipartisan committee to take a look at this. And they're finding the states that have begun to really implement community responses to crime rather than prison sentences are experiencing very good effects from this, and are really doing major changes to make sure they continue in this new direction.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
The National Church Council on Justice and Corrections is encouraging Christian congregations across Canada to oppose the Harper government's punishment for crime agenda, citing its costliness and damage to society. The council also reminds Canadians that the federal government's approach goes against evidence about what actually keeps communities safe. The group sent a letter to the Prime Minister asking that the government modify its policy, taking into consideration the impact it will have on the most disadvantaged Canadians, its lack of effectiveness, and its serious budgetary implications. We're speaking with Lorraine Berzins, who is the Community Chair of Justice for the Church Council on Justice and Corrections.
Lorraine, tell us more about how increasing levels of incarceration of marginalized people will affect Canadian society down the road.
Well, actually, in some ways that I think people are not thinking about at all, when people think of crime, they think of the worst case scenario, and it doesn't have a human face, and they think of the, you know, really serious cases where we all know that there are some people who need to be detained and our society needs protection from. But what they don't realize is that there's many, many, many more who are in for nonviolent offenses and who have many problems that need to be attended to. And by sending them to prison, we start a whole cycle that makes it much more difficult for them to reintegrate into society. What the Pew Foundation's research found in the States, and their data is very specific, they found that people, a sentence of incarceration led to a really downward spiral economically for the offender, even for many years, over a lifetime, lower income earnings as a result, and the offender's family. They realized, they were able to document that there's an increasing number of children with parents behind bars, and that two-thirds of those parents are behind bars for nonviolent offenses, and that the children are suffering very severe consequences in terms of greater poverty, in terms of more likelihood to be expelled from school or to drop out of school, and more likelihood over a lifetime to have a much less strong economic mobility and to, in fact, enter a cycle of social and health problems that goes on and on. And as they point out, you know, when an offender who may have committed an offense that is not anywhere near as serious as we all think it would be is unable, upon release, to take care of his or her family, who pays the costs? It's the community and all of society who ends up down the road with a larger population that has a lower standard of health and social services, and all the conditions in the communities that these people come from that breed more crime. We know this now because of this 40 years of experience in ways that are far stronger than we ever knew before. And I know in the States they're saying we've made a big mistake and we need to reverse this direction. It's extremely stigmatizing to have done time in jail, so stigmatizing that many families are ashamed to admit to it, and it causes many, many social problems. We make it very difficult for people to come back and change the direction of their life.
We have just a moment left, Lorraine, in our discussion today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would like people to really find out who is going to prison from their community and how the court system is dealing with crimes that are not violent. And also, especially that the use of a prison sentence in so many cases is not assisting the victims of the crimes in their community. In fact, it's taking resources away from the services that those people need. And we know how to do this much better and much more cheaply. And it's time we used that information for a good purpose.
Thanks very much, Lorraine Berzins, for taking the time to join us today.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Lorraine Berzins is the Community Chair of Justice for the Church Council on Justice and Corrections. The Council is a national faith-based coalition that works with both multi-faith and non-religious partners and has achieved international recognition for its contributions to creative thinking about criminal justice. And you can find them online at ccjc.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.